Welcome to part one of a brand new series I have decided. And as we welcome you to this new series, let me also welcome all those that are joining us right now online. Come on, everybody, let's give it up for those that are joining us. We're honored to have you along for the ride. Let me also say, I encourage you to look at your worship guide there and pull out message notes and follow along with us and fill in the blanks there. Also, let me just tell you that there's a reason why these are perforated, or I should say perforated. What do we have? Hole punched. We have three-ring binders in our connection area in the lobby. We would love for you to grab one of those, especially on this first Sunday of the year, if you don't have one already, and you can collect our notes as we go throughout the year, and I think that'll be a great resource for you. Really excited about this new year as we begin. Aren't you excited about 2017? I just am really excited about having a fresh start. And so I want to get right into this message today and launch this with this verse from Philippians chapter 3. And let me just kind of set this scripture up for you. The Apostle Paul is speaking from a Roman jail cell while waiting his execution. And interestingly, as he's waiting for his execution, he is actually in this Roman jail cell setting goals and making plans for his future. I just love the optimism of the Apostle Paul. And let's look at this scripture. Look at with me in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, where he says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." So in other words, I've still got some things I want to do. I've still got some plans. I'm not there yet. I've got some things I'm working on. I'm looking forward to. And then he goes on to say, but back up there, if we would. But one thing I do. Now, that's important. Would you get that with me? Come on, say that with me. But one thing I do. Come on, say it again. But one thing I do. And I love how he kind of narrows things down, a focused kind of life. You know, he's got all these things he wants to do, but there's one thing that he's focusing on, and we're going to talk about this idea of one thing, of focusing our life. And here's what he says that's important to him. He says, "Forgetting what is behind and striving toward what is ahead." So he is saying here that I've got to forget what is behind. Now, for him, that was extremely important because the Apostle Paul, in his former life, he was Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church and murdered many Christians. So he had a lot to forget about and get past. Now, I don't know if you may not have anything that major to get past, but there may be some things in 2016 that you need to put behind you, and so it's time for us to forget what lies behind and let that go, move into a new place in 2017. Look at what he says, "Straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal." So there is this going after, this intentional going after, and he says, "So I'm pressing towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Notice he says goal. I press toward the goal. He was a goal setter. I believe we need to set some goals in our life. Goals are extremely important. You need to have a plan. You need to have some goals, something that you're shooting for. This we do know. If you don't have a goal, you'll hit it every time. I guarantee you. You'll hit it every time, right? So we need to set some goals. So we're going to forget about the past. We're going to move forward. We're going to set some goals. And so I want to take today and the next 3 weeks to talk about some of the most important decisions of our life. Chances are you've already set some goals. My wife has been asking me, "Have you made any New Year's resolutions?" Somebody asked me that this morning before church. "Have you made any New Year's resolutions?" I said, "I don't need a New Year's resolution. I need a New Year's revolution." Anybody with me on that? And so, but a lot of us have already set goals, and there are some all-important ones, though, that I want to give you over these 4 weeks. I want to give you four goals that you need to be included in whatever goals you are already setting. This I want us to understand up front, and that is whatever happened yesterday, whatever should have happened that didn't happen, right? Whatever you wanted to happen that didn't happen, or whatever did happen that shouldn't have happened, the mistakes made, the goals that you set last year that didn't come to pass, and perhaps they're on your list again this year. I just want you to know this, and that is that you serve a God who is the God of a second chance. That's good news, everybody. He is a God of a second chance. I mean, I was out this week playing basketball with my son Tanner, who can dunk over me any day of the week. But you know, he was shooting these hoops, and I was like under the net, you know, just taking it, passing it back to him. Now he was making his, but it may be that if it was the other way around, you know, and I'm making them, I'm missing them, and he's shooting them to me like, "Come on, Dad, give it another chance." I just want you to know, God is that kind of a God. He's under the hoop, right? He's under the net, and he's like passing it back to you and saying, "Shoot it again. Shoot it again. Come on. You miss it? That's okay. Here, I'm going to pass it back to you. Make another shot. Try it again," right? If you're a golfer, right, and you hit it into the pond, right, he's there with dropping the ball saying, "Come on, have a mulligan," right? Come on. It's a do-over. Let's do it again. So our God is a God of a second chance, right, everybody? And so 2017 is going to be the best year of our life. And it may be that you've been trying for something for a long time, and now you have this attitude that it's never going to happen. Can I just encourage you and say that in the name of Jesus, by faith in him, it's going to happen in 2017. Amen? Come on. It's going to be, and I believe it's going to be the best year of your life. I believe that. And in fact, let me give you a verse to encourage you from Isaiah chapter 43 that tells us what we really should be doing. Verses 18 and 19 that says this: "Forget the former things. Let it go." And I love how it emphasizes that. Do not dwell on the past. Don't dwell on it. You know, the enemy would have you just to stay in the past, dwell in the past, wallow in yesterday. Come on, just hanging out there. But the encouragement here is, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And then look what it says. "See, I am doing a new thing." I'm doing a new thing. I believe God wants to do a new thing. And then look what he says. Now it springs up. I love that word now. Now. Did you know that God has created for us today a now moment? You're living in a right now moment. Right now. That's something that God gives us. A now moment. And it says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And the question there is that a lot of times we wouldn't recognize it. We don't recognize the opportunities sometimes that are there. We don't recognize it because maybe we're dwelling still in the past. But he says, do you not perceive it? And then he says this: "I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." So we are in a right now moment that God has created for us. Here's how I want to frame this as we look at this series. We're going to talk about decisions, good and bad decisions. How many have made good decisions? Come on, you've made good decisions, right? And how many have made bad decisions? Why are more hands going up for bad decisions? I don't understand that. But anyhow, you know, I guess we tend to remember those more. I can remember some wonderful decisions that I made. One of the best decisions I ever made was over 30 years ago I picked up the phone and I called this little girl named, we were both little then. Well, she's still little. I'm sorry. I'm in trouble. Anyway, I picked up the phone. I called this young, beautiful young lady. How's that? That better go. And I asked her out on a date. Her father answered the phone. Thank God he let me talk to his daughter, right? And she said, yes. And so that was a great decision. And there's a lot of wonderful things that happened because of that one decision. In fact, I was in Tallahassee at the time, attending Florida State University, and so I started dating long distance, flying with the airlines my dad worked for, and at that time, coming home every other weekend. My dad knew I really wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing and said, "Son, if you don't come home and marry this girl, I'm going to adopt her, and you can't marry her, and she'll be your sister." So I came home, and we got married, and then that led to another wonderful decision that I made, and that was answering a call that God put on my heart while still in Tallahassee, and that was to come to this area and plant a church right here. I saw this location when I was in Tallahassee, Florida, and I would tell you it's one of the best decisions of my life. I couldn't think of a better place. We were singing that song this morning, "No Place I Would Rather Be." Let me tell you, there's no place better than to be in the center of God's will. And you don't know what God's up to. You may not see everything you want to see, but I want to tell you, God is up to something when you're in the center of his will, when you're doing what he's called you to do. We leave the results to him, and God does amazing things. Somebody told me, you know, you're right across the street from UNC Charlotte, where there's students from over 100 countries represented there and a growing university. Listen, folks, you never know what seed is sown into one life that may go on into another part of the world, and that seed continues to reproduce. Listen, we just don't know. Eternity will only tell what God had in mind with us being here. So I just thank God for the good decisions that have happened in my life. And I just want us to realize that you and I are the sum total of the decisions that we make. Even bad decisions, if you have a decision to, you have a decision of how you're going to respond even to that bad decision you made in your life. I was thinking about bad decisions I've made. You know, I've made some bad decisions. I'm not going to tell you about them all, okay? I was thinking, what could I share in way of a bad decision that I really want to share? All I could think of was a humorous one that you've probably heard before, but I was reminded of it yesterday as I was on the roof of this building doing some work up here, and it started sleeting on me. I thought, what is that sound hitting this tin roof? You know, what is going on here? And it was sleet, and it reminded me of the time when we had a sleet storm that happened at our house, and it covered everything, the street and all, and I had one of those moments of making a bad decision where I said to my son, hey, son, watch this. And I learned, they now know whenever dad says, hey, son, watch this, they say, no, dad, don't, stop. And I was on a little top of a toy box kind of thing that I turned into a sled sort of thing. And we had this real hilly driveway that went down to a hilly road, and everything was ice. And some of y'all heard this, but just indulge me. But I got it next to the garage, and I started out, and I went forward. But right across the street was this recycling bin full of glass beer bottles, okay, sitting there. And there was no curb. It was just swoop, you know, just slick slope. And I just rammed into that thing. Now, this was late at night, okay? All right, everybody's in bed. And I was in a community where the houses were about this close together. It was like a village, y'all, okay? And everybody was, like, you know, living right on top of each other. And so I hit this recycling thing. Bottles went everywhere. I went everywhere with the bottles, and they're clanging, and sparks are going, and it's all coming down, and I can't stop. We're just sliding down together, me and the beer bottles. And when all's said and done, I'm sprawled out in the middle of the road, laying with beer bottles all around me, and the lights begin to come on in houses around me, and they start looking out there, and there's the pastor in the middle of the street, you know, just wiped out, you know. That was a bad decision, and I know you've had bad decisions too, so if you're up here, you get to tell yours. But I want to draw your attention this morning to the most important decision of your life, and I want to frame it with a question. I'm going to give you some stuff that's not in your notes. You can write some of this down if you'd like, and that's with this question. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in my life? Let me ask that again. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in my life? And I want to draw you to it. I want to encourage you to go after it. And I want you to live your life like it matters. And as we do this, honestly, I believe that 2017 can be the best year of your life. My role and our role as a church is to be in your corner, encouraging you, come on, you can do it, praying for you, supporting you, giving you the tools so that it become a reality. Truth is, all of us have that one thing. What is that one thing? Wouldn't it be nice to know what Paul's was? Paul's talked about, there's one thing I do. Wouldn't it be interesting to know what that one thing was? What is your one thing? And I want to give you some categories that you might want to think about to help you kind of identify what your one thing is. And so there's some different categories in our life that we might need some help with. One would be my habits. Write that down. My habits. Okay? You know, sometimes our habits actually become more than habits, they become addictions. You know, it may be that you have an addiction to alcohol. It may be you have an addiction to tobacco. It may be that your addiction is actually the internet. Perhaps your addiction is social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. You know, I mean, you know, it could be, though, that as you're looking at the internet, you may be looking at the wrong things and things you really shouldn't be looking at on the internet, and no one knows about it but you. It's your little secret, but there it is, and you know that it's robbing you of your quality of life. I believe that this can be the year that everything can change. It could be prescription drugs. It could be any kind of habit that has turned into an addiction. But I just want to say we need to have this focus on this one thing kind of life and be able to say, I have decided this is the year, with the support of my church, with the support of me getting into the Word and praying this year, that thing's going to break. Come on, that habit, that addiction, that stronghold, the chains are going to fall off of me in 2017. Can I get a good amen? Come on. Another area would be the area of my relationships. Not all relationships are good relationships. Some relationships we have are no good and need to be dissolved, need to be ended, right? It may be that you're in a wrong relationship. It may be at work where you have this relationship where things have just gotten a little bit too flirtatious and it's going in the wrong direction. And you're not there yet, but you know it's on its way there. I want to tell you in Jesus' name, that relationship needs to end. Amen. I mean, if you have to change jobs, change jobs. If you have to move to a different city, move to a different city. But don't let that relationship destroy you. It could be that there are some relationships, on the other hand, that need to be restored. It may be in your marriage. It may be that initially when you first got married, you know, you were this close. And then the next year you were here, and 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 the next year you were here. And the next thing you know, you're worlds apart and you're roommates, right? And you need to bring that back together. So this is a year you say, hey, we're going to work on our relationship. And we're going to come in this year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year. And we're going to get this thing back where it needs to be. It may be that you need to get into a small group that we're going to be launching in a few weeks. It might be that you need to get into a group that emphasizes marriage and relationship. And you can get in there and God give you the boldness to be honest to say, hey, can I say something? Me and my wife, we're not where we need to be in our relationship, and if this doesn't do us for us, then we're in trouble, and we need some help, right? Because if we don't get some help, it's going to be you know, going down the tubes. And then what's going to happen is that you're going to have, hopefully, going to liberate some others in that group to say, us too, we're in there too, we need some help in that area too. And so it's going to be encouraging, and you're going to help one another, because guess what, we're all in this hospital together. Come on, there's no perfect person, there's no perfect couple, there's no perfect church, right? We're all in this hospital together, and we can help one another and find support for your one thing. Get your relationships right. Here's another area, and that's my debts. So this year, instead of adding more debt, let's start tackling that debt, right? We've made wrong decisions in this area, I'm sure, as well. Remember, we found out we were going to have a second child, and we said, second child, we need a van. Oh, we need a safe van. We need a van with all the safety. We need a new van. You know, a new vehicle is the worst investment. Sorry for all you car dealers out there, but it's a bad investment. I'm just saying, go out and get a. It's not used, y'all. It's called pre-owned, right? but you know, and you get in this thing, and then years later, you're trying to get this thing paid off, and then by the time you get it paid off, it's falling apart. You know how it is, and then that's when all the bills come in. I'm just saying there's things, though, that we need to look at in our finances and make good, wise decisions in our investments, right? And so find that extra money. Attack that debt little by little. Let this be the year that you begin to chip away at that debt and get yourself to a place of freedom. Amen? And there's a small group for this, by the way. It's called Financial Peace University. Get in that. I'm telling you, it'll help you. And so we'll tell you more about that in the weeks that come. Now, another area would be the area of my health. Come on. I'm going to suck it in as I'm talking about this point. All right, we're going to get in shape this year. We're going to exercise. We're going to get into the gym. We're going to go to the doctor, and we're going to actually follow what the doctor recommended. My wife actually was telling me that last night that she saw some picture. I don't know if it's on Facebook or what, where it showed a picture of the gym, like in the beginning of January, right? The first week of January, and it's packed, you know, people everywhere. A couple weeks later, same place, they take a picture, and there's just a few people in there, you know how that goes, right? But come on, let's let this be the year that we get into shape. Another area would be my dreams. Some of us might have been dreaming a dream for years, and we've never taken a step towards it. So let this be the year that you start that business. Let this be the year that you start that ministry or you go on that missions trip that you've always dreamt of going on. And so I just want to challenge you in 2017 that it can be the best year of your life if you focus like the Apostle Paul did on this one thing that I do. And we'll get around you. We're going to support you. We're going to be a church, and we're going to be a system here that's going to help you. And with God on your side, listen, all things are possible. Amen? Philippians, again, what Paul said there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, but one thing I do. Come on, say it again. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so I, as a pastor, and us as a church, we want to support you and encourage you in that and pray with you over your day. So right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that you this year will be the year where discouragement and depression and despondency over missed opportunities will be put behind you, and that you'll understand and realize that God is for you, that God is with you, that His Spirit is upon you and in you, and He has equipped you and enabled you to fulfill exactly what God has called you to do. I pray that you'll have favor, you'll have God's blessings, that you'll have God's power to lead you, and that you'll walk in the power of His Spirit to fulfill exactly God's plan for your life, that you will discover His purpose and that you'll make a difference in your life. It's going to count for something and mean something in 2017 in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. This one thing is needed. So I want to give you a word, and that is this. When we talk about this one thing, if you want to be successful at any part of your life, you got to get this. You cannot leave out God. Because here's the fact. You and I are a spiritual being. And if you've ever experienced the frustration of living life in a way to live your life without a life filled with the presence of God, you've discovered that your efforts aren't enough. You've discovered that. But there is something available to you that is so powerful, so real, so energizing, so empowering that you're able to live not just a natural life, listen to this, but a supernatural life. A life that when you look back, you'll say, oh my goodness, only God could have done that. And when you look in the Bible and you ask, what is that one thing? If you did it, it would change your life the most. We can ask King David. King David say, well, if you're asking me what my one thing is, I figured it out. I want to be around God. Psalm 27 and 4, he says this phrase, look at this. He talked about his one thing. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. He just says, I just got to get closer to God. This one thing I do, if there's one thing, if I can narrow it down to one thing I've discovered, this is a secret. I just want to be close to God. The closer I get, come on, the closer I get to God, I'm empowered, listen to this, to do the things on my list. And really only one thing is needed, and that is to get close to Jesus. So listen, personally, church, I want to and I need to be close to Jesus like I've never been before in 2017. In fact, for our theme of prayer and fasting for 2017, that's going to begin next Sunday for 21 days, listen, the theme of that is closer and closer, closer and closer. There is a song out there that says this, closer and closer, we want to know you, reaching out, here in your presence. I want to go deeper. Come on, we just need more. We sung about it this morning. More, more, more. We just want more of you, Jesus. We just need more of you. And Paul said, listen, I'm not there yet, but I'm striving. I'm pressing. I want to get closer. And so I want to challenge you in 2017, if you're serious about this being the year of your life, to make this the best year of your life spiritually. In order for you to have the best year of your life, you're going to have to make it the best year of your life spiritually. In other words, let's see how close to Jesus we can get. I want to show you this in a story. It's found in Luke chapter 10. Let me set this story up. There's three characters in this story. There's Jesus, there's Mary, and there is Martha. And it was Martha actually that opened her home, initiating this event, and opened her home to Jesus. I'm saying that because Martha's kind of the person who didn't get it right in the story, gets kind of dumped on, okay? But she's actually the one that opened her home to Jesus to come. But here's what happened. It says that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. So Mary immediately goes to the feet of Jesus. She says, I got to get close to him. I got to sit at his feet. I got to learn from him. I got to soak in everything, every word out of his mouth. I just want to be in his presence, right? So she sits at his feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. Come on, everybody say that word, distracted. Now that's a problem. Distractions. We get ready to pray. Something's distracted. Get ready to do something, and something's over here happening, and we're going in every direction. She was distracted, look at this, by all the preparations that had to be made. So she was busy. She was in the kitchen getting the meal ready, come on, getting things happening. Some people call her Meatloaf Martha. You know, she's putting meatloaf in the oven. You know, she's just trying to get it ready, right? I mean, somebody got to do this, right? So it's important, right? So she's there, and she's making preparations. And then she came to Jesus. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus, come on. Tell my sister, get up off her seat and help me, you know. I mean, I'm hearing her working and slaving over the stove, and she was all anxious about what all had to be done and wanting her sister to help her. And this is what Jesus' response was. He said, Martha, Martha. Can't you just say, it's almost like he's trying to calm her. Martha, Martha. And he said, you are worried and upset about many things. Upset by many things, many distractions, many things. But look what he says next. He said, but only, there it is again, only one thing. Only one thing is needed, right? One thing. And he says this, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Listen to me. These message notes, the first page is kind of gets you motivated about 2017 as we looked at that, right? And about what God can do for us and through us, right? But understand this, that if you don't get closer to God, and that's what this back page is about, okay? If you don't get closer to God, chances are you'll never accomplish the things that are on the first page in that list, right? It's never going to happen. I want to help you get closer to God this year. And help you discover how in every area of your life, when you get closer to God, God will help you to fulfill every area of your life, right? When he's the center of it all, right? So I want to help you get closer to God this year. And I want to give you three things from this story to stir you to get closer to God. And so look at this. I have decided, Paul says, right? He says, I'm straining, I'm pressing toward the mark. So we've got to have this I have decided mentality that I'm going to go after God. I'm going to go after him with all my heart. And so look at this first point I want you to see here. And that's this. Number one, write this down. I have decided to make the most of the new year. I have decided to make the most of the new year. We could actually put in that blank, not just new year, but we could actually write the word new opportunity. Of this new opportunity. Because, see, the new year gives you a sense of new opportunities. Martha had an opportunity. That was what was before her. Listen to this. Jesus was in her house. He was in her house. And she was in the kitchen. You follow me? She's in the kitchen, and Jesus is in the house. While that was important, it wasn't the most important thing. And Mary chose the most important thing. In one sense, we could say this morning, there's an opportunity that presents itself to us today. Now, we have to go back into that verse that says, do you not perceive it? Do you not realize this? We're living in a now moment. We got to shake off yesterday. We're living in a now moment. It is an opportunity today. Put it this way. Jesus is in the house. Question is, are you in the kitchen? Right? Come on. We got to follow Jesus. In fact, I felt very impressed for many weeks leading up to this year. The Lord just kept speaking to me, follow me. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And it led me to this series I have decided to follow Jesus, right? The cross before me, the world behind me. I'm going after Jesus this year, right? Follow Jesus. And so here is this opportunity we have. We have an opportunity, folks. We live in a wonderful time. We have an opportunity. We live in one of the greatest countries on the earth, right? If not the greatest country on the earth. I'm just going to be bold, all right? Speak it like I believe it, right? And then we live in we have our church located in one of the greatest locations in the area, right? Right across, again, from a university with opportunity. In fact, I got a text yesterday from somebody saying, hey, can we bring all the campus ministries back over to your church as we begin this semester for prayer? We just want to pray over that campus. And I'm saying, yes, yes, opportunities. Opportunity. We've got to look for our opportunities and move and activate those opportunities. We're in a new year. We're in a new day. There is an opportunity. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Be careful. Be very careful. So if we're not careful, we can miss our opportunities. But he says, be very careful then how you live. So we got to live in the right way. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. That word opportunity actually there in the Greek is the word kairos, which means time. And really what it really means is there's a window of time and a window will open and it will shut. Listen, folks, we have an opportunity right in front of us. We have an opportunity of a new year, of a new day, of our church, of living in this great country. And so we need to take this year that we have. Come on. I'm encouraging everyone, if you're not all in, go all in, right? Run the play. Give 1 year of your life. Come on, don't just stick your toe in and say, well, I guess so. No, go all in, step into this thing. Everything that we're doing as a church, do it. Get involved. Some of the happiest people in this church and the most fulfilled are the people that are all in. Come on, you just look around, you'll see it. So go all in, right? Run the play. Everything that we're doing, do it. If we're offering small groups, get into a small group. If you haven't been through the growth track, go through the growth track. Come on, join the church, be a part of it, get on a dream team, find your gifting, serve, make a difference. Listen, you're one step away from realizing the best year of your life, right? And if you'll understand your opportunity, listen, Jesus is in your house. He's right in front of you. And all you need to do is go on in and see if this can be the best year of your life. I want to summarize these three points that I'm giving you, and these are extra notes you can write down. Let me summarize this point, and that is this, with this statement. I have decided to get rid of every distraction. Let me back up. Here we go. I have decided that 2017 will be the best year of my life because it's going to be the best year of my life spiritually. All right? Write that down. I have decided, if you got enough space there, that 2017 will be the best year of my life because it's going to be the best year spiritually. We are comprised of body, soul, and spirit. And when the spirit dominates instead of the flesh dominating, listen, that's what it's going to be the best year, because we are actually spiritual beings temporarily housed in a physical body. And when you let the spirit man rule, I'm telling you, there's peace, there's order, right? There's the ability of God to fulfill his purpose in our life. And then that's when we'll have the best year. Look at the second point, and that is this. I have decided to get rid of every distraction. Write that one down. Martha was distracted. She missed an opportunity. She thought cooking was more important. And do you realize how many good things keep you from the best things? I believe one of the tactics of the enemy is that he doesn't always destroy us with bad things. He destroys us by distracting us with good things. Right? And so there's things in our life that are fine, but we take them too far. Social media is good. I need to be more active on it to kind of stay connected, right? But when it turns into 18 hours a day on Facebook, it's got control of you, right? I mean, football, let's go to football. Oh, come on now. This is the season. I've decided I should never be hoarse on Sunday because of yelling for my football team on Saturday, right? And but I mean, football's fun. Have fun with it. But when it gets to the place where, listen, your emotional state is determined by 19 and 20-year-olds, then something's wrong. Come on, think about it. You're letting your emotional state be determined by kids, right? I mean, really, right? I know I'm stepping in somebody's territory, right? So, I mean, if your ebb and flow is because of a game, your ebb and flow of life of whether I'm happy or if I'm sad is based on whether your team wins or loses because of a game of 19-year-olds? Come on, really? Okay, we need perspective here, right? I mean, this week, let me go to my team. Y'all know I was going here. FSU, we won by 1 point, beat Michigan. Come on, we were ranked 11th, they were ranked 6th. That was a good win. That was great. But I was wore out at the end of that game. I put a little post on Facebook, and I said, hey, I thought we won. Then I thought we lost. Then I thought we won. Then I thought we lost. Then I thought we won. Then I thought we lost. Hey, guess what? We won. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way that's the way it goes. You know, it's ebb and flow. You know? But if your emotional state, and I know it's fun to have fun with all that, but we got to put this in perspective. It can be a distraction when it goes to the extreme. Look at what Hebrews chapter 12 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what is that great cloud of witnesses? Many believe it's those that have gone on to be with the Lord, our loved ones that have already made it to heaven. Now, some theologians think that there's a cloud of witnesses that are looking on what we're doing. They can see what's happening here, and they're up there going, cheering you on. I mean, I don't know, that's mystical. I don't know all about that, but that's what many believe. But there's a cloud of witnesses. And he says, because of this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's get rid of the distractions. Come on, let's set them aside. Let's set aside 2016. Let's don't worry about it. Let's move on. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we got to get rid of distractions. And that's what really fasting is about. Let me just explain a little bit about that. You know, we know what prayer is, but oftentimes there's this mystery around fasting. You know, what's that thing with fasting? Is that punishment? What are you doing? Are you abusing your body so you get God's attention? No, 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 no. Fasting is simply this. It is simply getting rid of distractions. It's setting aside a period of time. And we like to use 21 days because it takes 21 days to create a new habit. So for 21 days, I'm going to set aside going to movies. For 21 days, if this, you know, some of these things work for you, you know, just work out what works for you. But some of you might decide to set aside news. That may clean your brain out right there, right? Okay. Or social media. I'm just going to set that aside. Or I'm going to set aside some of my favorite foods so I can focus on that one thing. And so that I can focus on what really matters, and that is focusing on the Lord. So I'm going to find that thing that distracts me the most. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't love it as much as I love you. I'm going to lay it down for 21 days. And I'm encouraging everybody who attends Crosspoint to join me starting next Sunday to fast and pray. You heard about the services. They'll be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. You can watch those online from where you are and pray with us. Those are also archived, so you can even watch that later in the day if that works for your schedule. We'll have a link on our website to that. On Saturdays, you can meet here. We'll also be linking live from here, but we can come together on Saturdays from 10 to 11 during those 3 weeks. And we'll have resources all over the place online. We'll have resources for you. But let me just take a moment right here as we're talking about this, and we'll begin this again next Sunday, but this will help you prepare for this. It's also very good to get off of caffeine if you're going to, you'll have a headache as you detox for a day or so, and then your system will be cleaned out, you know. But let me describe 3 areas of fasting to consider. First of all, there is a full fast, and that is just going all in. Right? You're going to fast. It may be that you're going to fast for a day. You're going to completely abstain from food. It may be 3 days or 7 days. It may be a water only. If you're doing water only, you really need to seek your doctor's, your physician's counsel on that and make sure it's healthy for you to do that. Some people will juice during that time, but you're not eating. You're juicing and to keep your strength up. That's fine. That's a full fast. Second kind of fast is a partial fast. A partial fast would be that you set aside something that's important. You might set aside a meal. You might decide, I'm just not going to eat lunch today. It may be that you eat all day and then you eat an evening meal or a combination of that, you know, just partial fast. A third kind of fast is the Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is a fast where basically it's no meat, sweets, or breads. And so you basically are eating fruits and vegetables. But just however you do that, but just set something aside. Some of you, it may be abstaining. You just want to abstain from something, as we were mentioning about withdrawing from movies or TV or media or whatever. But do what works for you, but do something where we're saying we're going to set aside these things that are important to us so that we can get rid of the distractions and hear from God and go after God. And I'm going to tell you, what it's going to do is it's going to build up your spiritual man, that your spiritual man is going to dominate your flesh. It's going to dominate your physical. It's going to dominate your emotional. And so that it's in control, it's calling the shots. And I'm telling you, that's when you'll have the best year of your life. Amen? And so let me give you this summary statement of this point that I've written down. It's kind of wordy here. I hope you got room to write this down. It's not in your notes. It says this: I have decided that I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately mean nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything. Let me read that again. I have decided that I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately mean nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything, right? Number three, I have decided to prioritize the presence of Christ in my life. And so I'm not just going to come to church on Sunday. I'm going to serve God on Monday and the next day and the next day. I'm going to live my life as God first, a first God first kind of life. Jesus be not just a part of my life, but be the center of my life. He's like the hub at the center, and the spokes of the wheel are everything else in our life that comes from Him. He's the center of it all. That's why we have these wristbands. If you don't have some, we got a few extras that we can get to you that simply says, pray first. We're going to pray first. So in other words, we're not going to let prayer be the last resort, but it's going to be our first response. And so we're going to pray first before we send that email and hit the send button. Before that appointment, before we start school, before we start the day, we're going to pray first. It's a pray first kind of life. And we're going to live our life in a way that's God-centered, a God-first kind of life, right? Listen, folks, Jesus is in the house. We've got to remove the distractions and get closer and closer to God so that we can know Him. Remember, Paul has this one thing, right? We said, wouldn't it be interesting to know what Paul's thing is? He actually tells us what it is. In a verse preceding him talking about this one thing, he tells us what this one thing is. Look at this scripture with me in Philippians chapter 3, back up to verse 7 and 8. He says this: I once thought that these things were valuable. What things? Shopping, football, girlfriends, boyfriends, school, work. I thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. It's just not comparable. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. I'm asking you to give me the next 3 weeks, right? As we just go after God. And then look what happens. He says, I've counted all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. One thing is needed. One thing is needed. And so you get close to Jesus this year, and when you do, it'll be the best year of your life. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Some of us need to understand that this is the year where everything needs to change. And some of us need to start this year by making Jesus the Lord of our life today. I mean, some of you have done that before, but you need to declare to God anew and afresh, I'm going to serve God with everything I've got. And you need to say to the Lord, I'm going to live a God-first kind of life. And you know, many of you know we haven't done that. Many of us haven't done that, right? And so He's in your life, but He's certainly not the priority of your life. And so we need to put Him as the first and foremost, the center of it all, right? In fact, that's what really salvation is. Salvation is not coming to church. It's not joining a church. Salvation is reordering our list to put Jesus at the top. That is salvation. And I can't think of a better way to start the new year than to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. If that's you today, I want to pray with you what I call a commitment prayer. If you're here or if you're watching online, I want to lead you in a prayer. And so right where you're sitting, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm just going to pray with you right where you're sitting. But I want to lead you in this prayer today when you're saying, that's me. I have decided. I'm ready. I want to live my life for Him. So that if that's you, I want to pray with you right where you are. And I want you to be bold and say, that's me. And if that's you, when we pray this prayer, come on, would you just, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift up a hand. Just lift it up boldly. Just lift it up and hold it up. God bless you today. God bless you. Yes. Yes, going all in today. Amen. Good job. You may put your hands down. I just want to lead you in a prayer. Again, if you're watching online, just stop chatting for just a moment. Join us in this prayer. Right? And believe that God is going to do great things. So this is a simple prayer. Come on, make it your prayer. You can whisper it. You can say it out loud. But just make it your own. Just say this. Just say, Jesus, thank you for a fresh start. Thank you for a second chance. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a chance to know you. Today, I give you my life. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. Be the Lord of my life. Number one, I'm going to serve you with everything I've got. Today, I give you my life. In your name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's just thank God for the decisions made.